ways that we put these sermons out there, but they're available on iTunes, other podcast players. But if you got your Bibles or your electronic devices, we're in the book of Colossians, and we'll be reading from chapter 3, and I'm going to begin at verse 1. But you know, after establishing Christ, the person in the first two chapters, Paul moves on to how a believer in Christ should live. And he gives us some very specific instructions, and we're going to read it. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, and it says this, "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Kids, if you've got a coloring sheet, that's the verse that's on there today. That's the verse, is that verse 17. "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." You see, in verse 1, other translations use the word seek. If you have a King James Version or a New King James Version, you'll see that word seek. The believer is to seek the things above. The word seek, it marks aspiration, desire, and passion. The things above are those of the empire of Christ. In order to seek these things, the mind must be set on them. The believer's responsibility is revealed first in response to the union with Christ in death, in putting to death the things of the earth, of which a list is given. Also, the things of the Spirit, which are evil, must be put off. These two are named. Then follows the application in the matter of our union with Christ in life. And the apostle again shows the things that manifest such union. The final and inclusive word in this application is, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So let's take just a moment and let's break this down and let's look at four different points that I want to give you this morning. I've got three gets, G-E-T, and I have the last point starts with do. So, three gets and a do. And I don't mean a Mountain Dew. Somebody want a Mountain Dew right now, you know? Where's Duke? He's the do guy. Number one, get your mind right. Verse 2 says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. You see, because our lives and identities as Christians are now wrapped up in our relationship with Christ, we must set our minds on spiritual matters. Let our attitudes be determined by things above. Now, a lot of times we go throughout our daily life and we got so many things set up on our mind. It's not saying that every thought that comes into your mind should be about Christ. That's not what this is saying. What this is telling us is as believers, as Christians, we shouldn't let those things that aren't right be in our minds. You know, like we shouldn't go about planning murders, you know, it shouldn't be in our minds. How can I kill this person? You know, now I know some of you ladies, you're thinking, how can I bury my husband in the backyard and nobody know about it, right? You know, or how about some of you, some of you people that you're sitting there thinking, man, how can I get $1 million from that bank? These are things that we should not have in our mind. It says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. But our greatest affections and priorities, they should center on things that will last forever, and our greatest efforts should be to store up treasures in heaven. We're only in this life for a short time. You know, I think that as we've gone throughout this last 2 months, we can look back and we know that life is very precious. Life is valuable. And we may see individuals, we may see people that have struggled, that have suffered. And we can look at their lives and we can say, you know what? These people, I pray for them. And then some of the people that are so angry. Have you not, if you ever read social media at all, oh my goodness, there are some angry, angry people. And it's like they just need Jesus. Amen? It's like if they could just find this Jesus that I know, and I know what my life was like before I am here now. I know that my anger is not where it used to be. You know, they would want to change their life. But it's important that we value, that we judge and consider everything from an eternal and heavenly perspective. Setting our minds on things above. Storing up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Our goals and pursuits should be to seek spiritual things and resist sin. You know, as believers, we need to develop Christ's character. Think about who Christ was. Think about as he walked this earth and think about the things that he did. And in our minds, we look at him and what he did, and we need to develop the character that was in Christ. As we read about his life in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as we read about his life and we see the life that he lived, we need to take ourselves, reevaluate ourselves, and look at him and say, I want to try to be more Christ-like. Now, Christ was perfect, okay? Christ had no sin. He knew no sin. The only time that sin came upon his life was as he was on the cross. Then he took on all the sins of the world upon himself so he could be that substitution for us. He took our place on the cross. And so we look at his life as he lived his life, and we say, I want to imitate Christ. I love what Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. You know what Paul's saying? Paul's saying, as I follow Christ, as I'm making my life be an example of the way Christ lives, you can follow my example. Now, he's putting a lot of stuff on himself, is he not? I mean, think about that. He's saying, I'm going to follow so closely to Christ that you can actually follow me. That's what Paul's saying. We as believers should be striving for that, to try to live our lives as close to Christ as we possibly can, doing what we can to say, okay, God, how can I follow you? I want to live that example. I want to see the example of Christ, and I want to walk in that way. But if we remain true to Christ, we can be confident of our glory, honor, and award with him in heaven. Number two, the second get, is get rid of the earthly nature. Verse 5 says it this way, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Think of it this way. If your clothes are dirty, what do? You take them off, you put clean ones on, right? That's what we do. The old life that you lived before you were saved is part of the earthly nature. Remove it. Do away with it. Paul names a few of these things. He says sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Now let's look just for a moment. What is idolatry? Yeah, you hear that word. We hear that word a lot. What is idolatry? Here, I've got a definition for you. Idolatry means giving priority to anything in place of God. I'm going to say it again. Idolatry means giving priority to anything in place of God. You can make the most innocent thing in the world an idol if you're putting it before God. What are the things that you love? I like going camping. But if I made that my God and made that my top priority and put it ahead of God, guess what? It's an idol. Is there anything wrong with camping? No, there is absolutely nothing wrong with camping. It's time that I enjoy going out with my family, hanging out and doing things like that. It's something that we all enjoy doing. There's nothing wrong with going camping. However, if I put it ahead of God in my order of relationship, guess what? It becomes an idol. Whatever your favorite thing is, if you put it ahead of God, it becomes an idol. It is idolatry is allowing things to become the focus of one's desires, taking the place of reliance on and faith in God himself. You see, idolatry can involve people claiming to be loyal to God and his word, while at the same time giving equal or greater loyalty to persons or traditions. You know, we hear a lot of stuff about the royals on TV. You know, the people over in England, the king and queen. And there are some people that worship them, that think they are all that is to be. I could really care less about their lives. Not that I don't mean that in a spiritual way. I mean they put them on TV and everybody all, oh, look at what they're doing. I don't care what they're doing. You know, that lifestyle there is nothing in that I got to have that. You know, there's nothing there, but people do. They put them on pedestals. The Pope. People take the Pope and put him on a pedestal and think that he's right there with God. Can I tell you that he is not equal with God? I just had a lot of people that just... But seriously, anything that we put ahead of God is an idol. Verse 8, he adds to the list, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Verse 9, he says, do not lie to each other since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self. I like what 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation is come, the old is gone, the new is here. Amen? That's something that we can celebrate. That old life that I used to have is no longer. I am taking that old life off. I'm putting on the new life, and I'm going to walk in the newness of what Christ has done to me. I like how the New Living Translation says it. It says it like this. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And that's why Paul is saying get rid of the earthly nature. That nature to do the things that aren't right and walk the path that Christ has designed for you. Christ has designed a path for all of us. He's designed it for all of us. Amen? And so we are to walk in that path that Christ has designed for us. Christ has set you free from the earthly nature, and you are a new creation in Christ. Amen? Amen. Number three, here's the third get, and then we'll talk about a do. Get the right clothing. Now, ladies, I know some of y'all can, you know what I'm talking about. You got to get the right outfit, right? Kelly, how many times you changed this morning before you got the right outfit? She's rolling her eyes over there at me. I'm going to be in trouble later, y'all. Y'all know what I'm talking about, though, right? You go in the closet and you go, nope, that's not, nope, that's, nope, nope, nope. Pull it. No. And you may try on three or four. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You get ready to go somewhere. Maybe you're going to a nice banquet. Maybe you're going to a, you know, like maybe back in the day you went to prom or whatever. You got to get the right outfit. And that's what Paul is telling us here, is get the right outfit. Verses 12 through 14, Paul gives us the right clothing to wear. He says this, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." All of these are very important. But I want to point out one specific thing that he mentioned here. Forgiveness. You see, forgiveness is to be a primary practice for believers that has, unfortunately, regrettably, been overlooked by many in today's church. Yet it is still a key element in living a life patterned after Christ. The word forgiving, it's from the same Greek word as grace. Freely forgive. One sign of believers being forgiven is that they forgive others. See, forgiveness of others is not the basis of forgiveness, but it is its fruit. If I want to be forgiven, I need to learn how to forgive. Think about the worst thing you've ever done. Don't you want forgiveness from that? You ever done something and you felt so horrible about it? How many's ever had to apologize to your kids? You know what I'm talking about? I have. I've called my kids to me and I said, "Let me tell you something. Daddy was wrong. I made a mistake. I'm sorry. And I apologize." There's been times of asking for forgiveness. And there's time, we want forgiveness, right? We want forgiveness in our life. The things that we do, the things that we've done, we want forgiveness for. And so if we want forgiveness, then we need to forgive. It's important that we forgive. We need to learn to forgive before being asked for forgiveness. So we got to get the right clothing on. How many of you wear pajamas to bed? It's a lot more comfortable to sleep in than blue jeans are. At least it is for me. I would much rather sleep in my PJs than to sleep in blue jeans. You know, this is not what I'm going to go to bed in tonight. I'm not, unless something happens and I just fall asleep because I'm so exhausted. You know, this is not what I'm going to wear. When I get ready for bed, I'm going to go change into my comfy clothes. Matter of fact, probably when I get home, I'm going to put my, if I don't have anything else to do, I'm going to put my comfy clothes on when I get home. Right? How many of y'all do that? You know what I'm talking about? Sunday afternoons, man. I mean, if you don't have anywhere else to go or anything else to do, you're going to put some clothes on to get comfortable in. You know, me and Brinley may go ride bikes or something this afternoon, but we're going to put our comfortable clothes on, aren't we? And we're going to have our comfies on, and we're going to be enjoying ourselves. So when we get ready to go to bed, we just kind of just fall into bed, you know? Why? Because we're comfortable. We want to be comfortable. In life, you got to get the right clothes on. Get the right clothing on. And the last one, number four, do it all for Christ. What better way to sum up this sermon than number four being do it all for Christ? Colossians 3:17. It's one of my favorite verses, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I could sit there and preach a sermon just on that verse. Paul closes this section with the need to be thankful in all that is done. Giving thanks to God the Father through him and is ever to accompany the work in the name of Jesus. The exhortation to thanksgiving, which is in a sense the Alpha and the Omega of the Christian life, is perpetually on the apostles' lips. You can read all throughout the epistles that Paul writes, and constantly he's saying thanks. In almost every greeting, if you go look in the first few verses of each of Paul's letters that he wrote, usually about, I know like in Philippians, it's chapter 1, verse 3, I think it says, "I thank God for you." If you look throughout, just about, that's the way he begins just about every one of his letters. I thank God for you. And then he constantly is talking about thanksgiving. You know why I think Paul was so thankful? Because he remembered his old life. You see, Paul hasn't always been this most wonderful, beautiful Christian that we know. He spent the first part of his life persecuting Christians. He had them put to death. He was standing there as Stephen was being stoned to death for his faith. Paul was standing there holding the cloaks of all the people that were stoning him, watching. Matter of fact, whenever Paul had his conversion, he was going out looking for more Christians to persecute. And that's when Jesus stopped him and said, Paul, why are you persecuting me? In other words, what have we done? We haven't done anything to you. And it was at that moment that Paul had his conversion and he made a change in his life. And I honestly believe that as Paul wrote his letters, I believe that he looked back over his life and he said, I thank God so much for saving me and for saving the people that I have gotten to know and for the relationships. I think that he was just overjoyed and over grateful for all those things. But for continual thankfulness, there must be a
everything I ever wanted, I found in you. Everything I ever wanted, I found in you. Everything I ever wanted, I found in you, Lord. Everything I ever wanted, I found in you. I could run away, but you would never leave. Lord, you're always right by my side. I could run away, but you would never leave. Lord, you're always right by my side. Everything I ever wanted, I found in you. Everything I ever wanted, I found in you, yeah. Everything I ever wanted, I found.
If you're here this morning in this place, or if you're maybe joining us at home, I want to give you an opportunity. I want to give you a chance that if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, now's an opportunity. Now's the time. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, then I want you just to repeat this prayer after me. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I admit that I am a sinner. Today I give my heart to you. Come into my life and make me clean. I want to serve you. I give my life to you. I am no longer my own, but I am yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you said this prayer, we want to know about it. You can come and talk to me after service. If you're joining us at home, You can send a message to us. But we want to help you in this journey. We know that it's a journey. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon, right? Some of y'all may have been Christians for 70 years. Some of y'all may have been Christians 50 years, 40 years, whatever it is. You know that it's not a sprint, but it's a journey. And you've been seeing God working in your life all these years. This morning, as you get ready to leave, we will have ushers at the doors accepting your tithes and offerings if you'd like to drop those off. And you can also give online. There's text to give. We have so many ways that you can use to give if you would like to give. But let's pray over this offering. I want to pray for you guys as we get ready to go. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you. First of all, Lord, I want to thank you for allowing us to come together to be in your house. And God, I give you praise. God, I give you glory. God, I worship you. I thank you that we have this freedom to come and meet together. And God, I pray that as we go throughout this week, God, I pray that you keep us all safe and bring us back here next Sunday, God, safe and ready to continue to worship you. God, I pray for those at home, God, I pray that you would touch their hearts and their lives, that you'd minister to them, God, that you'd do a work in their life. God, I pray that you would just be with them, God, each and every step that they take. And God, for any new believers, God, that have asked you to come and be a part of their life today, God, I pray that you would touch them, that you would minister to them, do a work in their life. And God, I pray right now for this offering, God, that we're about to receive. I pray that you would bless it. And God, I pray that you continue to use it to fulfill your work and the calling that you have placed upon this church. And God, we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you for joining us. Y'all have a wonderful week. And don't forget Bible study Wednesday night on YouTube at 6:30. And then we'll be back here next Sunday at 10:30. And if anything changes, I will be sure to let you know. Don't forget also Saturday, men's breakfast and food pantry. So y'all have a wonderful week.
Here to